It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
The tale is told that in or about the year 1210, Francis of Assisi had an audience with Pope Innocent III. During their meeting, the Pope showed Francis some of the great wealth of the Vatican. The Pope boasted, "We can no longer say with Peter, 'Silver and gold have I none,'" to which Francis replied, "Neither can you say, 'Rise and walk.'" This illustrates a situation in which the accumulation of culture's wealth resulted in the loss of Christ's power. Both men were referring to the incident reported in Acts chapters 3 and 4. Take a few minutes to read that thrilling story. In that situation, Peter and John find a man crippled from birth at the gate of the temple called Beautiful. Here's what we read in chapter 3, verse 3. "When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.' So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God," read the rest of the story. Drawing on that incident, here are five dynamics of how you can live in that place of wholesome tension between faithfulness to God and relevance to culture. "Wait a minute," you say. "It's a great story, but what does it have to do with me? I'm not an apostle living in Jerusalem in the first century. Furthermore, I've never known God to be so present in power. I'm just an ordinary person working hard to make ends meet in the 21st century, blank, fill in the name of your town." Fair enough, but hear me out. Let me identify five dynamics from the incident in Acts chapters 3 and 4 that can impact you. First, engage your culture. Peter and John engage their culture where they are. In their case, they are at the heart or central symbol of their culture, the temple in Jerusalem. We read that in Acts 3, verse 1. In some ways, the temple in Jerusalem is equivalent to, say, the Capitol building in Washington, the House of Commons in London, the Kremlin in Moscow, or Tiananmen Square in Beijing. It's not that we need to engage our cultures at their iconic centers, but you should not be reluctant to engage your culture where you happen to be. Second, respond to need. Peter and John respond to legitimate needs they meet. Here's what happens in their case. We've already read it in chapter 3, verses 2 to 7. They encountered a man over 40 years of age who had been a cripple from his birth, begging every day at the Beautiful Gate, at the central symbol of that culture. What irony! The presence of this crippled man is a graphic contradiction of the temple's significance. The dwelling place of the one true God, a gate called Beautiful, and there a cripple from birth, begging every day. Peter and John do not throw a few coins to this beggar. They don't have any. They give what they have. They are the dwelling place of the one true God as followers of Jesus. They engage their culture with the kingdom of God as they stop, listen, look, speak, touch, and bless this hopeless man, all simple human acts. You may say, "This can't happen in my time and place." I suppose you're referring to the miraculous healing, not the other expressions of profound kindness. I'm not saying that such a miracle must happen, but it could happen. Engaging your culture for Christ begins with simple human acts in everyday places, such as your neighborhood, your workplace, and your classroom. Three, you may draw attention. Perhaps I should warn you that your actions may draw attention. Acts 3, verses 8 to 10 will continue. We find the man leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. Now, these people were intrigued by this event. It was so unexpected in their life experience. They may not realize it, but they were getting a taste of the kingdom of God, that introduction to an absolute of their hearts that says there's got to be something more than this life. As your identity as a follower of Jesus conforms more and more to the essential human character of Jesus, you will probably notice that things you do or say will draw attention, even though that is not your intention. Consider that through you, others are being given a taste of the kingdom of God. Read Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. Fourth, explain what is happening. Peter and John then explain what is happening in chapter 3, 11 to 26. In a world where there is so much we don't understand, people yearn to make sense of things. Why did this happen to my child? What can I do about this situation? How do I respond to this or that? What's going to happen next? Followers of Jesus don't always have the answers, but they have a lot of them if they are engaged with their environment, saturated in the ancient and holy text of the Bible, and filled with the Spirit of God. Peter spoke to the people about God's presence in their history and their current affairs. He drew their minds and hearts to Jesus Christ. He was making sense of this miraculous healing by inviting these people into the flow of what God was and continues to do. This is God's story, and it often contradicts culture's stories. Noted writer C.S. Lewis stated that he believes God's story, quote, as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else, end quote. And here's the fifth dynamic. Faithfulness leads to persecution. Be warned that faithfulness to Christ often results in persecution from culture. The temple officials recognize that Peter and John have been with Jesus and that they speak boldly of and for Jesus. And as a result, these cultural officials confront, imprison, and threaten Peter and John. Read about that in Acts 4. At some point, engaging cultures with the kingdom of God will result in conflict in the form of persecution. Paul writes to the young disciple Timothy regarding persecution in these terms, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's not that we seek persecution, but it is inevitable if we live in faithfulness to Christ and relevance to culture. Here's a concluding reflection. For you, faithfulness to God and relevance to culture will probably not involve healing lifelong cripples, but it will involve some or all of the five dynamics we have distilled from this incident. Here are some questions to ask yourself. How am I experiencing these dynamics in my life? What situations am I meeting in my daily routine that are opportunities to engage my culture for the kingdom of God? What questions are people asking that I can explain in the context of God's story? And how do I respond when I'm rejected or criticized for manifesting the kingdom in my culture?
You've been listening to John B. McDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. McDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.